Okay, Mark Willard Show continues on this wonderful night, the 90th birthday for the great Willie Mays. And we're all already looking forward to what it's going to look like and feel like at the ballpark tomorrow night with Willie planning to be in attendance. Marty Lurie joining us right now. Marty, there was no way we were going to have a complete day of coverage of this great man and this great day without your voice being involved. So I'm so thrilled that you're on with me tonight.
Well, it's a pleasure. I'm glad to be here. And Willie Mays, one of the special people, not only in the baseball world, America, but the world in general. A very, very special man, as we'll talk about it, his baseball career, his post-baseball career, and what he means to everybody. Very, very special man. I'm so glad. 90, what a milestone for him. Huh.
I love it. And I love the way you say that. And I wonder if you would expand on that a little bit, because clearly there are some thoughts there about everything that he has meant beyond the great back of his baseball card.
Well, he is someone who symbolizes the greatness of baseball. And he came up through the Negro Leagues and as a 15-year-old, as a high school kid. He made the Birmingham Black Barons. He took his father's position. And basically, Willie Mays was someone who traveled with the team as a kid. And he was still in high school, and he'd have to come back to class and do reports about the cities that he had been in. He was there in the beginnings of the integration of baseball in the late 40s and early 50s. But what he's meant to the country, the catch, the 1954, Joe DiMaggio's streak of 56 straight, Babe Ruth's 714, Barry Bonds, Hank Aaron, and Willie Mays. He has his moment in baseball history. But there was the exuberance of him playing the game that was special. He was a kid, the Say Hey kid. He played stickball in the street with the kids in Harlem. He was on the Ed Sullivan Show. He was on What's My Line. He met presidents. He met monarchs around the world. And he is one of those persons, like a Muhammad Ali, that I think if you go to different countries in the world and you say the name Willie Mays, that it conjures up an image for people around the world. And there aren't many baseball players you can say that about. Maybe Joe DiMaggio because of the magic name. But for Willie Mays, for all that he's done for this country, for baseball, his post-baseball career, I think he's as well-known around the world as any baseball player other than Babe Ruth.
I tell you what, amen to all of that. And you know, here I sit feeling like he's the greatest to ever play the game, and I never even got to watch him play. I mean, my opinion is solely based on obviously the things I've seen, the highlights, the videos through the years, but it's really the passion that is shown through other baseball fans who are the ones who've shown the game to me. And then obviously, sure, you can sit down and look at numbers and all of that, but that's not really my thing anyway. I just feel like nobody was as well-rounded, maybe as an athlete, as you state, as a person, than Willie Mays. Why don't you answer that for me, though, Marty? For those of us who didn't get to actually be in a building and watch him play, what did we miss?
Well, you missed a very dynamic player. And, Mark, I've been doing these interviews for 25 years.
Yeah.
And many times I'd say, well, who's the greatest player you ever saw? And 99% of the time it would be Willie Mays. Willie Mays took over the game of baseball. If it was hitting 50 home runs, if it was stealing bases, if it was leading the league in hitting. And if it was the All-Star game. He took over the All-Star game for years, and the National League just dominated the All-Star game because of Willie. And, of course, he would tell Walter Alston, he'd say, look, just lead me off and hit Hank Aaron second and hit Frank Robinson third, and you can do what you want with the rest of the team. And that's the kind of player he was for the New York Giants. Leo Durocher and Willie were the symbol of the great New York Giants teams of the early 50s. And what I got from people who saw him play, and I tell Willie, I said, you know, Willie, I lived in Florida during the 60s. I never really got to see you play that much other than the All-Star game and maybe a little bit of the World Series. what did you do? What made you so great? And he would laugh, and he would tell me how he would score from first base on a pickoff at first base, how he could, you know, get a double on a bunt and things like that. But his recollection of the game was fabulous. So I think to answer your question, he took over the game. He was the captain in center field. He would give signals to Alvin Dark, who would then relay the signals to the catchers to what the pitcher should throw. He was just someone who took over the team and took over the game, and he just was baseball. He just had great power. The basket catch, how many people did that?
Right.
You know, he had the hat flying off his head, the great speed, and he just had moves that no one else had, and he won with them. And that's what I get from talking to people who saw him play.
Whether this be a personal experience or just something you saw on the field, what's your favorite moment?
Well, my favorite moment is getting to know him. And, you know, he would come to spring training, and he would be in the clubhouse about 11 a.m., and he'd sit at this sort of card table with his friends, and I would sit there too, and we would talk about baseball. And it was, oh, probably about 10 or 12 years ago, and we were talking about, because very few people really know his career or could bring up names from his past that I do, because I remember, you know, that part of baseball. So he said to me, well, give me the 1956 Cincinnati Reds, and because there's a great home run hitting team. I said, okay. Ted Kluszewski and Johnny Temple and Roy McMillan and Wally Post and Gus Bell and Frank Robinson and Ed Bailey. And he says, yeah, but who played third? And I looked at him and I said, Ray Jablonski. And his face changed. And from that day forward, Willie Mays and I could talk on a very even level about baseball, about his career, and he showed me that respect. So for me, a kid from Brooklyn who saw Willie Mays play for the New York Giants and saw him get no hit by Carl Erskine in May of 1956, and I was a little kid who wore the B on his cap just in the Jackie Robinson movies, for me to sit there talking to Willie Mays about baseball and for him to show me that respect and to choose me to be his interviewer, and we did about six shows together. We did one in Atlanta at Coca-Cola. We did Tommy Bahama in Palm Springs down here in Arizona as well. For him to show me that respect, for me, was one of the greatest moments of my life. And I've done a lot of stuff, Mark.
Yep.
I've done criminal law for 25 years. I've tried capital cases. And I've had my own business really for 50 years and doing all these shows. And for me, that was probably the proudest moment I've ever had.
Oh, man. I could listen to it all day. Marty Lurie hanging out with us on Willie Mays' 90th birthday. We've been celebrating him all day. And, of course, the ballpark is going to get to celebrate him tomorrow night. What are your expectations there, and what do you think the emotions in the building will be like?
Well, I think it's going to be wonderful. It's what it is when people see Willie Mays. They just want to shake Willie Mays' hand. They want to be in the presence of – it's like a monarch. It's like a president. You want to be in the presence of Willie Mays and to have Willie Mays part of your life for just a second, whether it's getting an autograph or shaking his hand or just looking at him standing there as we sing happy birthday to him. It's just it's a moment that you will never forget. When we would do these shows, it was three parts to it. The first part, the folks would come up, and he would shake hands with them and take a picture, and then he would sign a baseball, and then Willie and I would do our Q&A for, you know, about an hour in front of the crowd. And there were moments when I would look in the eyes of people who got to just shake his hand.
Yeah.
And it was something you say, I'll never forget. And that's what Willie Mays means to everybody. And all the things he did post-baseball, beautiful things of his foundation, being generous to kids, doing so much for the Giants. He's the greatest ambassador the Giants have ever had. If they say, Willie, we want you to meet so-and-so, Willie meets so-and-so. And he just shares that greatness of Willie Mays with the public. And, Mark, I don't know if you've met him, if you've talked with him, but if you just have your moment with him, It's a moment you'll never forget, and I think that's what we're going to feel tomorrow night at the ballpark.
Yeah, I have not had that moment, and I look forward to that moment, and it's so wonderful that he's here and that he's made it to his 90th birthday and all of that. And listening to you describe it, it's interesting because he's such a showman on the field. He is so comfortable being kind to people. I've watched that. We all know that. Do you think, though, he's ever been comfortable with the role that you're describing, the presence that he does have around other people?
He loves it. He lives for it. He's a showman. He was a showman on the baseball field. He was a showman as his post-career. He'll be a showman tomorrow night. He will be a star tomorrow night. When Bonds broke all the records or when Willie had to make a eulogy for someone, Willie would get up there and he would just start talking. He is a showman. He lives for it. We did the show in Palm Springs, and it was at Barbara Sinatra's foundation. And Al Rosen was there, and many baseball people were there. And I get up. It's about 1,000 people, and I'm sitting there with Willie on the stage. And I never know what Willie's going to do. And he would tease me, "You're a lawyer. Can't you ask better questions than that?" And I'd say, "Look, that catch was so easy. You've been milking it for 60 years, okay?" And we'd go back and forth. And I got to the end of the show, and I said, and I'd never said this to him before. I said, "Well, how do you want to be remembered?" And he started to cry. And, Mark, I'm sitting on the stage in front of 1,000 people, and I'm saying, "My God, well, what's going to happen next?"
Wow.
And he started to cry, and he said, "All I ever wanted to do was put on a great, great performance for the fans. It's all for the fans. It's all for the people who come to the game. And it was all for the people who came to the luncheon. And it's all for the people when he meets people in his ambassadorship for the Giants." That's what Willie lives for. And when the moment happens, when the bell rings, Willie Mays is there. He never, ever whiffs on the pitch. He never does. He always hits a home run, and that's who Willie Mays is.
So good. So good. And how about for his 90th birthday, the Giants are in first place? What about that?
Well, as Willie would say, it's a little early.
Yes, it is.
It's a little early. You know, they've only played 30 games. You got another 130 to go. Come back and check with me in August, and then we'll talk. But it's a great beginning for the ball club. It's a great beginning. And, you know, to be with him in spring training and to sit and talk with him, and he would come out to the show at the Public House. Raph knows that, and Adam who's been there, Patrick was there. Willie would come out and be with us. And these were moments that were just wonderful moments, but they were baseball moments. And for him to share that baseball knowledge is something I'll never forget.
Marty, wonderful to have you on all of this. These stories are great. Before you go, we would be honored if you'd do the big finish with us.
I'm ready.
Okay.
We should try to get Willie to do it.
I know. We should. We should. Marty Lurie on the big finish. Okay, Marty, two categories. You pick one. Do you want to do me time or your money matters?
That's a good one. How about your money matters?
Your money matters. Okay. That's a good lawyer right there. And by the way, that is the first question, Marty. Why do lawyers cost so much?
Well, because we go to school for 7 years.
Right.
And as Dean Lewis said at the University of Miami, you can bring a plumber in and he knows what to do. And you bring a lawyer in and he knows what to do. He knows what question to ask. The plumber knows exactly what to do. So as the lawyer for your field, you are unique. And that's exactly why you could charge. Now, I think they charge too much money, to tell you the truth.
I think everybody agrees with that. I also know a lot of people who went to school for 7 years and they don't get to come out and be like, "That's why I charge so much." They just happen to end up in school for 7 years. But I get what you're saying. All right. Next one, Marty. What have you spent too much money on in your life?
That's a very good question. I would say probably clothes.
Okay.
When I practiced criminal law, you met clients and you wanted to drive a nice car. And it meant something for you to walk into court. Willie Brown did it for years, to walk into court wearing a $1,000 suit. It just, you felt better. The cases were tough. And when the client looked at you, the client felt, well, maybe this guy knows what he's talking about. Look at the nice suit he's wearing. Or the jurors would look at you and say, gee, he's dressed nicely. Maybe we can understand what he's going to say. So I would say I had too many $1,000 suits.
That's, I think that's good. Yeah, well, you got a $1,000 suit and 7 years of schooling. You got to be doing something right.
Well, you do. Believe me, there are a lot of nights when you go to, well, being a criminal lawyer, there are nights when you lay in bed and you say, boy, did I do this right? Did I do that right? And let's see what's going to happen tomorrow. So it was quite interesting.
Last one. How much will it cost me to take the entire family to Marin Joe's?
Well, first of all, we want to go to Original Joe's.
But I know. I just happen. I throw in Marin. Okay. It's close to where I am.
We're going to let you go to Marin Joe's. The entire family?
Whole family.
I would say, I know that you're more of a sandwich guy. And how many people in the family now?
We got five.
Five? Okay. Well, I would say you're in probably, including the tip, for $150.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I'm all right
with that. And believe me, you're going to have so much food, you're taking it home, and it's absolutely worth it.
There you go. So we're going to get three meals out of this. It's a bargain. Marty, phenomenal stuff as always. Great to connect with you today.
Well, you do a great job. I was telling Raf before I came on, Mark, of all the hosts that we've had over all the years at that nighttime show in KMBR, I think you do the best. And you're dedicated. You're prepared. You've worked in the state of California, and you bring an exuberance and an honesty to the show at night, and that's not easy to do, and you do it with a lot of class.
Marty, that means the absolute world that you just said that to me, because I've listened to every single one of those shows through the years, so my goodness, thank you. Thank you, kind sir.
You're welcome. Have a good night.